You're listening to the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 243.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Alex is ready to answer your questions and provide you with the tools you need to succeed in real estate, all through case studies, current real-life transactions, and proven marketing strategies. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Hey, hey guys, welcome back to another Q&A Flip Empire Show here. And if you are joining me and joining us for the first time, thank you very much. I'm not sure how you stumbled upon the podcast, but I'm glad you're here. I think, you know, kind of buckle up because I am really pushing myself to take this podcast to new heights and to continue to infuse it with the best possible content I possibly can. And part of that is going to come with your feedback. So I really want to encourage you and ask you to reach out to me. You know, shoot me an email, alex@flipempire.com, or go to flipempire.com, click on the Ask Alex link, shoot me an audio message. Let me know what type of content, what type of topics you want me to cover. If there's anyone in particular you want me to get on the podcast, you know, I'm very fortunate to have a pretty broad network, and I'm pretty confident I connect with a lot of people that you might want to have on the show. And so if there's anyone in particular, any particular niches or, you know, topics or subjects or anything you want me to kind of dive into, whether it's by myself on these Q&A shows or in a masterclass, reach out to me, let me know, and you know, see if I can't make that happen for you. So, you know, I want to kind of pick up where I left off on episode 241, you know, where I talked about our hiring system. I talked about, you know, the importance of everything starts with culture and core values and your purpose, you know, identifying, you know, who you need, why you need them, what roles and responsibilities you have to fill, you know, everything from the job ad to hiring filters, looping in your team members into the interview process to make sure that, you know, they cover any blind spots you may have in the interview and that you're not just hiring someone because you like them or their personality, but making sure that they're the right person for the right seat and making sure that that person protects, you know, your team members protect your culture at all time. It's that old adage, you know, one bad apple spoils the bunch, or however it goes. Same thing here. You know, one bad hire can really cripple your system, your team. You know, it can really, it's almost like a 45-pound weight around somebody's ankle. You're going to move a lot slower and it's going to hold you back. So make sure that you protect your team, your culture, and you're bringing on the right people for the right seats. I cannot stress the importance of that. And now I want to kind of pick up in part two here. And I want to take some things that I heard, at a presentation from a gentleman that, you know, I highly, highly respect, somebody that's operating at such a high level. You know, they do millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of transactions every year. I want to say they do upwards of 350, 400 deals a year. You know, they have a rental portfolio of over 230 properties. I mean, just badass operators, you know, like the guy and his team, they're just on point. They got their systems dialed in. And he was talking, you know, he gave a talk on, part of he was talking about what his hiring system, right? So in part one, I covered some of the things that we do in our system. And in part two, I want to kind of share some things that, you know, he addressed in his talk and some of the things that we're currently implementing in our business. We don't do all of these things. And so we're striving to get to this level, but I want to, again, just kind of share with you some of the things that I learned that I took away from it that now we're putting into our business. But think about if you were applying for a position in your company, how do you want to feel? What do you want to see? And kind of take yourself through the interview process as if you were somebody applying for a position in your company. What would you see? Like, step away from your business for a second. Okay, so you're not the CEO, you're not the visionary, you're not the entrepreneur anymore, but you are applying for a position on your business. Okay, so I know it's difficult to kind of separate the two because you're so knee deep in it, right? This is your business. This is your baby. Step away from that for a second and ask yourself, if I went through the interview process, you know, with your company again, but this is not your company. You're just stepping away from it now. What would I see? How would I feel? Put yourself through that process. And I think that could be very revealing for you. You know, from the moment you see a job ad to the moment you apply, to the moment somebody reaches out to you, to the moment they schedule the interview, the communication in between, how do you feel? What are you seeing? What do you want to see? I think if you put yourself in an applicant's shoes, you can start to kind of see where the holes are or what you can do to separate yourself from everybody else. And then going forward, you know, let's say you get through a 2 or 3 step interview process. I mean, one of the things I didn't talk about in part one that I got from a really good friend of mine, Rob Swanson, somebody who, you know, just very successful in their own right. You may know him from, you know, he's got a software, FreedomSoft, for real estate investors. And he brings so much knowledge and experience, and provides great content. You know, one of the things he shared with me, I was working with him a couple of years ago, and he says, man, one of the things that we always do is the third step of the interview process is I will always take the applicant and their significant other, if they have a significant other, out to dinner with my wife. And he was saying, he's like, I trust my wife. I know my wife. And so this is Rob speaking to me, but I'm also speaking to you because I've implemented that a couple of years ago. And it's been really helpful is, again, I want, similar to what I talked about at the beginning, I want my team to kind of, if they get past it, my team, they get past me. I want my wife, my significant other, someone I trust that knows me, that knows the inner workings of my business. I want her to kind of be like the last safety net and just from the, get an outside perspective, right? She's not part of the company. She's not part of our team, but she knows me. She knows what we do. She knows our team members. Again, we operate kind of like a family. So my team members know my wife and vice versa. They know my kids. So I want her to kind of pick up and see it. And we go to dinner and we try not to even talk about the business or the job. Inevitably, it comes up, but the focus is more about them, their personal life, their significant other. I want to see how they interact with their significant other. Again, if they have one, if they don't, it's not a big deal, obviously. Just, you know, go with you and your wife or you and your husband, you and your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it might be, take them out to dinner. And if you're single, just go out to dinner by yourself with them. But the idea with this is you want to get an outside perspective, maybe go to dinner with one of you and one of your team members. And you want to see how they interact. You want to kind of get to know them on a deeper, more personal level. What are their personal goals? What makes them tick? You know, we've done this a couple of times. Actually, we've done this more than a couple of times. And there's been times when my wife will come back and say, I love them. I think they're a great fit. And it kind of validates what myself and my team was already thinking. And there's been once where, yeah, I'm not so sure. Okay, well, we have a conversation about it. And then you can make a decision from there. So that's one of the things that Rob Swanson shared with me that I'm now kind of passing along to you, you know, as the last step of the interview process, go out to dinner with them. And again, if you have a significant other, if they have a significant other, bring them along. You want to kind of get an outside perspective. If you see red flags at that dinner, you know, consider that. I'll kind of leave it at that, right? You got to just use your judgment. But kind of going back to this talk and this presentation, you know, one of the things that this particular gentleman and his team is when they have a 90-day onboarding process and they have very detailed documents about what they're going to be training on, when they're going to be training on it, how long they're going to be training on it. I mean, it's very thought out and systematic and process oriented. But what's really cool is that the day before that person, the day before the person's first day at work, okay, they get a phone call from each team member welcoming them to the teams, telling them how excited they are. They also get a personal phone call from, you know, himself, who he's the entrepreneur, he's the visionary, he's the one that hired them. So everybody on the team contacts the person. Like, let's say they're starting on Monday, they'll contact them on Saturday and Sunday, making them feel comfortable, etc. Then they also say, hey, listen, you know, get here by this time. Let's say it's 8 a.m., 7:30, whatever time it is. This person's going to be waiting for you. They're kind of going to, you know, stick with you the whole day and answer any questions you have, make you feel comfortable, just welcome you to the team. And so 15, 30 minutes before that person arrives, they have already predetermine somebody on the team that's waiting for them, that's going to greet them when they get there, that's going to introduce them to everybody in the team, walk them around, show them if you're like in an office. By the way, if you're in a virtual environment, this is still applicable. Just, you know, it could be somewhere else. You know, and then when that person gets there, they're handing them, you know, two company polos. They're handing them a laptop. Now, again, this is a full blown, you know, highly scaled, successful operation. And so you might be thinking to yourself, well, man, I can't afford, you know, giving somebody a laptop or lending them a laptop. I can much less afford, you know, having $30 to $50 company polos. Well, what can you do, you know, and how can you eventually get there? But I want you to kind of start thinking bigger and start operating like a highly successful company. Don't look at yourself as like, you know, a solopreneur or a small business, but how can you maintain, if you're a small business and that's what you want, you know, how can you maintain that small business, family, closeness, that type of feel, but still operate just like at another level, you know? So imagine getting there and somebody's ready to greet you. Somebody's introducing you to the team. Somebody's handing you, you know, a company laptop, some polos, whatever it might be. Somebody's taking you out to lunch and sticking with you the entire day. You have a very specific agenda and onboarding plan. And essentially they're setting that person up for success. And then, you know, the visionary, the entrepreneur, he'll check in with them at the end of the day and say, hey, how's it going? You know, what questions do you have? What do you think so far? Like just making them feel comfortable. And that process continues for the entire week. But then after that, they still have, remember, it's a 90-day onboarding game plan. So it's very well thought out. So I want to kind of wrap this up here, but start, hopefully this helps you to think bigger. And honestly, as I'm speaking and recording this podcast, it's helping me think bigger. And I've actually identified a couple of holes and things we're not currently doing that we can do better. That's all I got. I'm gonna wrap up. This is part two of just the hiring system. Now this was more focused on onboarding a team member, et cetera. And so I appreciate you guys. If you haven't taken just a moment or two, it would really, really benefit the show and help me reach more people. If you guys go to flipempire.com/iTunes, if you could leave an honest rating and review, let me know if you love the show, let me know if you hate the show. I'm super grateful that I think every single review has been a 5-star rating and review. And some of you have really taken the time to just kind of share with me some detail and some thought and, you know, your thoughts and as to why you like the show and what kind of value it's provided for you, your business, your family. And that absolutely means the world to me. That I cannot overstate that enough. I mean, I thank you. I thank you. I read that. I read every single one, and I'm just grateful for it. So thank you guys. I will connect with you on the upcoming masterclass. Talk to you soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.